Good morning. It's November 14, 2025. Here are today's top stories from Sigma Speaks. For your personalized updates, download the Sigma Speaks app. This commentary discusses the latest evaluation of Meta Platform's new smart glasses, as reported by Benzinga. Gene Munster and Brian Baker from Deepwater conducted a hands-on review and found that, while the technology is impressive at first glance, it doesn't provide enough practical use to attract mainstream consumers. Initially, they were captivated by the hardware, but soon realized there was limited functionality beyond what smartphones and smartwatches already offer. While the glasses do a decent job of displaying notifications, features like voice dictation were noted to be unreliable and slower than simply using a phone. The camera quality was also found lacking when compared to standard smartphone cameras, and the glasses' artificial intelligence struggled with accurately identifying common objects. Despite these shortcomings, Munster pointed out that the audio quality and navigation features were commendable. However, he remarked that the glasses still feel more like a piece of technology rather than a seamless accessory. Although Meta's investments in Reality Labs, totaling around $18 billion annually, are seen as a positive long-term strategy, Munster believes that widespread consumer adoption of such devices is still several years away. Recently, Meta introduced two new models, priced at $499 for athletes and $799 for the Ray-Ban display with augmented reality features. Munster previously referred to these as offering good value for money. Meanwhile, Apple is gearing up to launch its own extended reality products, including iterations of the Vision Pro and potentially smart glasses by 2027. There are predictions that Apple could eventually surpass Meta in this segment, despite its slower entry. Overall, Benzinga notes that Meta stock is currently trending downward across various timeframes, suggesting ongoing challenges ahead for the company.
This report discusses the financial results of Costamare Bulkers Holdings Limited for the third quarter and the nine-month period ending September 30, 2025. In a statement, Globe Newswire shared that this marks Costamare Bulkers' first full quarter of reporting as an independent, publicly traded entity, following its spin-off from its parent company earlier this year. During this period, Costamare Bulkers achieved a net income of approximately $7.4 million. The company also reported total cash reserves of about $206 million, against a long-term debt of roughly $160 million, placing it in a position of net debt negativity. Costamare Bulkers operates a fleet of 31 dry bulk vessels, with an average age of around 13 years and an average capacity of 91,700 metric tons. Notably, they have entered into a strategic cooperation agreement with Cargill, which involves gradually transferring the majority of their trading book to the larger commodity trader. In terms of market dynamics, the company noted fluctuations in the Capesize Index, driven by excess tonnage and changes in Brazilian iron ore flows, as well as recent political developments impacting shipping routes. Following a meeting between the United States and China, potential port restrictions were suspended, which had previously led to a spike in forward freight agreements. Looking ahead, the company is focused on divesting older vessels while acquiring newer and larger ones to optimize earnings. They reported the sale of six smaller vessels during the quarter, while also accepting delivery of a Capesize vessel, indicating a strategic shift towards enhancing fleet efficiency. Overall, Costamare Bulkers seems to be effectively navigating its new status as an independent entity, with a clear focus on growth and operational optimization in the competitive dry bulk shipping market.
This report discusses Calfrac Well Services Limited, financial performance and upcoming rights offering. In recent commentary, Globe Newswire highlighted that Calfrac reported strong adjusted earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization of $48.5 million Canadian dollars for the third quarter of 2025. along with a net income of $4.3 million from its ongoing operations. The company saw improved financial results in North America, driven by a higher number of operational days and a reduction in support personnel. Notably, CalFrac's operations in Argentina also contributed positively, although not at the record levels experienced earlier in the year. The firm successfully repatriated significant funds from Argentina, which allowed for a substantial reduction in its long-term debt. To bolster its finances, CalFrac's board of directors has approved a rights offering aimed at raising $35 million. Eligible shareholders will receive rights to purchase additional shares at a subscription price that reflects a 15% discount to the recent trading average. A group of major shareholders who together hold over 60% of the company's shares have committed to purchase any shares not taken up in the offering, ensuring that CalFrac meets its fundraising target. The company expects that proceeds from this rights offering, alongside upcoming credit facility drawdowns, will be used to pay off its higher interest second lien secured notes. This move aligns with CalFrac's strategic priority of reducing debt, which is projected to drop significantly by the end of the year. Looking ahead, CalFrac anticipates a decline in industry activity in North America as customer budgets become strained, particularly in the winter months. However, the outlook for its operations in Argentina remains positive, supported by an expanding fracturing fleet and increasing demand in the Vaca Muerta shale play. In summary, CalFrac's financial performance and strategic moves indicate a cautious optimism, with an eye towards stabilizing and enhancing its position in the market as it navigates various economic challenges. This report discusses the Food Systems NDC Scorecard, which evaluates how countries are incorporating food systems into their climate strategies. Fresh reporting from Benzinga reveals that Mercy for Animals will unveil this scorecard during a press conference at COP30 on November 17. The scorecard represents the first independent assessment of how effectively nations are integrating food systems into their climate action plans. Notably, food systems contribute to about one-third of global greenhouse gas emissions. However, the analysis indicates that many countries are focusing too narrowly, often neglecting critical areas such as dietary practices and food waste, which could greatly enhance their climate initiatives. Countries like Kenya, Switzerland, and Somalia are being recognized for their efforts in promoting climate-resilient food production. Switzerland, in particular, is making strides towards sustainable diets. Conversely, numerous high-emission countries are falling behind in fully integrating necessary food system changes that could lead to significant emissions reductions, along with health and equity benefits. Amelia Lin, the Director of Global Policy at Mercy for Animals, emphasized the importance of moving food systems from the sidelines to the forefront of climate action as COP30 gets underway. The organization is calling for a renewed focus on how political efforts translate into tangible policies regarding food systems and climate strategies. At the upcoming event, experts from Mercy for Animals will present the findings of the scorecard and discuss how these insights can drive more effective climate action. This initiative includes partnerships with several organizations focused on enhancing food systems and environmental policy. This scorecard could play a crucial role in shaping future climate discussions and strategies. This report focuses on RLX Technologies' financial performance and stock movement. Based on findings published by Benzinga, shares of RLX Technology experienced a significant increase in pre-market trading following the release of their third quarter earnings report. The company announced earnings of 3 cents per share, alongside sales totaling approximately $158.6 million. As a result, RLX Technology's stock price climbed by 6%, reaching $2.47 in pre-market activity. This surge reflects positive investor sentiment following their earnings announcement.
This report examines the recent surge in Dominari Holdings, Inc., a boutique investment bank linked to the Trump family. According to Benzinga's latest report, this company has seen a significant increase in its growth score, jumping dramatically over the past week. Dominari Holdings has established a niche in the small cap market, particularly focusing on digital assets and politically aligned deals. The firm has strong connections to President Donald Trump, with Eric Trump and Donald Trump Jr. both holding a stake of over 6% in the company. This relationship gives Dominari deep ties to the current administration. The impressive rise in its growth score, from 26.32 to 92.72, was largely fueled by a remarkable third-quarter earnings report. The bank reported a staggering year-over-year revenue increase of 1,150%, totaling approximately $50.8 million, compared to just $4 million the previous year. Additionally, Dominari recently benefited from a massive return on a $5 million investment in a struggling toy company, which has since been rebranded. Despite a pullback from its earlier highs, the stock is still up 186% year-to-date, indicating strong performance in a relatively short period. Benzinga's Edge stock rankings highlight Dominari's solid positions in both momentum and growth, suggesting a positive long-term price trend for the company.
This report discusses an unsolicited acquisition proposal by H. Lundbeck AS for Avadel Pharmaceuticals PLC. Citing Benzinga's data, Avadel has received an offer from Lundbeck valuing the company at up to $23 per ordinary share. This bid includes $21 in cash at closing and additional contingent cash payments based on future sales of Avadel's products, Lumriz and Valiloxybate. The proposal is noteworthy as it comes amidst Avadel's existing agreement with Alchemies, which was reached in late October, under which Alchemies would acquire all outstanding shares of Avadel for a maximum of $20 per share. The Avadel board has indicated that they believe Lundbeck's offer could be considered superior, allowing them to engage in discussions with Lundbeck, but they have not yet changed their recommendation towards the Alchemies acquisition. It's important to note that the Lundbeck proposal is still subject to various closing conditions, including shareholder and regulatory approvals. As of now, no definitive agreement has been reached, and Avadel's board has not made a final determination regarding the Lundbeck proposal's status. Financial advisors Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs are advising Avadel, while legal counsel is being provided by Goodwin Procter and Arthur Cox. The next steps for Lundbeck involve either announcing a firm intention to make a formal offer or withdrawing their proposal, which they must do within a specified time frame. The evolving situation highlights the competitive landscape in the biopharmaceutical sector, where companies like Avadel are actively pursued for their innovative treatments. Investors will be keeping a close eye on how this unfolds, as it could have significant implications for the future of Avadel and its shareholders.
That's all for now. Thanks for listening, and have a great morning.